releasing this teaching?
Well, I'm living the dream. So how do you segue from that into this? I don't know. But I do have to say one thing. As we were singing in the Spirit, I felt that we entered into the place of delight, delighting yourself in the Lord, and He gives you the desires of your heart. And I really do feel that it was a time of delight. It just, time stopped, for me anyway. When I say that I'm living the dream, I truly am living the dream. I've been waiting a long time to do this. A long time. And I've had many dreams through the years about being able to teach and impart some of the things that I've learned. And, you know, this is one of the things that I know that I have been born for. It's part of my destiny. So I got some really cool things to share, and I know Connie's going to jump in as well. But last week I came out with a scripture, and I have the scripture reference, Job 33:14-15. For God may speak in one way or another, yet man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon you while slumbering in your bed. And, you know, that's just one of the ways how God will speak to us. And I do have some scripture references that I do want to start off with about references to dreams. In scripture, there are 224 references. Now, I'm not going to give you all 224, but there's 224 references to dreams or visions. And the very first dream that was recorded is in Genesis chapter 15, verses 12 through 17. And it was a dream that Abraham had, and it was about the slavery of the Hebrews that was to happen, the 400 years. God had revealed that to Abraham. And another cool one, which I do believe there are people today that are having these dreams about how to acquire wealth. Jacob was given a dream in Genesis 31 on instructions on how to acquire Laban's wealth. So everybody knows that story about the sheep and the goats. Well, God gave that to Jacob. And then in Genesis 37, you know, Joseph, who was the dreamer, he had the dream about how he was going to rule over his brothers. And then one of my favorites is Joseph, Mary's husband, father of Jesus. He had dreams instructing him on what to do after the birth of Jesus and to even take Mary as his wife. So it's in there. Now, dreams are symbolic. Visions are literal. So they're interpreted in two different ways. And this is the really cool part, because we've been talking about, you know, going and accessing our gates and how we are living in two different dimensions at the same time, or, you know, a whole multiverse. Well, we're actually doing that every single day, and we don't even realize it. But dreams allow us to do that. We can be in two dimensions simultaneously. Because a dream could be something that's been in the past, or it could be something that's coming in the future. It could be right where you're at right now. And dreams, they're not inside of us. Rather, we find ourselves in the dream. And dreams allow us to transcend our age. We could be our current age, and we can be living in our childhood home. So that's just like one of the cool things about dreams. You know, something that you realize that we really are entering into more awareness about being in one realm and the other at the same time. Do you have anything to add? Want to add to that? Okay. Now, we can start talking about interpretations, and we'll see how we go. Maybe, you know, at the end, you know, we can work on doing interpretations. But this is the part that's really interesting, that we are not entitled to interpretations of our dreams, that interpretation comes as a result of an increasing relationship with God. So sometimes if you have a dream, because interpretations can come in many different forms, but he gives us dreams to draw us closer to him. And he uses them to increase our hunger and to understand and to seek him. And Connie has mentioned the proverb many times. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter. It's the glory of a king to search it out. Well, we are all kings in his kingdom. So when he gives you a dream, it's really important to search it out. And interpretations can come immediately that God could reveal it, the meaning of a dream to you. And that happened to Daniel, that God sent an angel to Daniel. You know, Daniel had a dream. He didn't know what it meant. And an angel showed up and told him. So that's a dream and an experience, a vision, all at the same time. You know, now, I got to tell you, you know, I've been spending all week in Daniel chapter 9 and 10, just going back and forth and just like looking at him. And, you know, very interesting, very, very interesting. You know, when you start opening up the whole realm of dreams, your dreams increase and you just notice things a lot differently. Has anybody had their dreams increase this week? Good. Have you been writing them down? Good. Did anybody have any dreams, vivid dreams, the past couple of nights with the new moon? You did? Yeah, one of two things happen on a new moon. Either you'll have a dream that you will remember at a later time, because it's, you know, it's the dark moon, it's the moon that you don't see, or you will have a very vivid. It's one or the other, but they're both very significant. Let's see. I can't read my writing. In 1 Chronicles 28:19, David said that the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. So David understood things as he wrote them down. And a lot of times as you write down your dreams, you'll get the interpretation just from writing it down. Also, when you write down dreams, you'll remember things that you didn't remember just sitting there thinking about it. So that's why it's really important to write it down. And when you take the classes, one of the things, you know, that John Paul would always encourage us to do is to write it out in a circle. So instead of writing a straight line, that you're actually writing in a circle, because what you're doing is you're stimulating your right brain when you do that, and that opens up a whole nother realm of creativity. And it actually opens up a little bit more understanding. Or even if you diagram it, draw a picture. This past week, I wanted to go and get out some of my stuff from all the classes that I've taken through dreams. And I have a big Rubbermaid box that is filled with dreams going back to 1998, something like that. There are so many. And I was amazed at how I drew out every single dream. And it really helped me in the very beginning in the interpretive process for my own self. Certain principles that you can aid in your dream is that you can just ask God if you get a dream. You know, that's one of the things that I think we do last, but we really should be doing first, that if you have a dream, ask God and see what he has to say. Another great way to start learning, and we touched on this last week, is studying the parables of Jesus. Jesus talked in parables all the time. Matthew 13 is filled with it. And you'll start to understand the interpretive process, and especially the process of contrasting why this and not that. That's really important. And also looking at the dreams and visions that are in Scripture. And one of my favorite stories, because I just absolutely love Abraham Lincoln. I don't know if anybody knows the story about the dream that he had before he was assassinated. He actually had a dream that he was walking through the White House, and he just noticed that there was a lot of grief. It was a very solemn time. And he walked up to a soldier who was standing in the White House, and he said, "Soldier, you know, what has happened?" And the soldier turned to him and said, "Sir, haven't you heard? The president, he's been assassinated." Now, what Abraham Lincoln did when he got up from that is he had his Bible next to him, and he started in Genesis, and he went through the Bible that night, and he went through and he looked up every single dream in the Bible. And he realized that dreams come from God, and he knew that he was going to be killed by an assassin. So, I mean, and he was really at peace with it. So, you know, that's just one example. To study the dreams and dreams and visions that are in Scripture. And, you know, again, you know, Revelation is just filled with them as well. I mean, there's a lot in there. The dreams that have manifold applications and dual applications. Dreams are like layers. You can have one dream that will mean one thing today, but 5 years from now, that dream is going to have a whole nother meaning, and it's still going to pertain to you. I don't know how else to say it, but when you start journaling your dreams and you go back and you see, you will definitely see how dreams have a way of transcending time. And when I'm done, I have something that I have to share that I found. I told Virginia briefly, but it blew me away, just this one principle about the different levels that we have in dreams. Am I going too fast? I feel like I'm going really fast. Okay. The other thing in dreams is to recognize patterns. When you start journaling, you will see that there's different patterns that you may have in dreams. You know, maybe you're being chased all the time. Maybe in one dream you're being chased by a bear. In another dream, you might be being chased by a lion. Another dream, you might be, you know, chased by a man. But the pattern is you're being chased. So that's something that you want to journal and you want to write down. And also, when you have a dream like that, you want to write down the emotion that you felt in the dream, because that's really important. You know, that maybe you felt sad and, you know, it was bringing out something. You know, because God can deliver you from an issue in a dream. And it's important to pay attention to all those little things. There's also two spheres of dreams. There's intrinsic dreams. And these are dreams that deal with our heart issues and with our relationship with God. These dreams could be predictive, and they pertain to matters of our soul. And a good example of this is the dream that Joseph had in Genesis 31 about he was going to rule over his brothers. It was a dream about him, which basically what the intrinsic dreams are, they are about you. Maybe about where you're at, where you might be going, a calling dream. There's so many different types of dreams. And just to try to kind of condense it, I didn't go into the whole different types of dreams, because that can get to be very confusing. But I think it's just important to realize if a dream is about you or if the dream is about somebody else. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 30, he says, "But as for me, the secret has not been revealed to me, because I have more wisdom than anyone living, but that you may know the thoughts of your heart." And that's when Daniel was interpreting the dream for a king, to let him know that God wanted to reveal his heart to him. In 99.9% of our dreams are going to be intrinsic dreams. Extrinsic dreams are dreams that focus on something else or someone else other than ourselves. And, you know, maybe 1% to 5% of most people will have an extrinsic dream. And an example of that is in Genesis chapter 41, verses 1 through 32, when Pharaoh has the dream about the 7 fat cows and the 7 lean cows. I mean, that was for, you know, the whole nation. So that's a great dream about that. so a lot of times that you think that you have a dream and it's for this person or that person, you know, if you're married and you have a dream about your husband and you really think that the dream is about your husband, well, you know, for a woman, the husband could be the Lord. And, you know, it could be about your relationship with him. So it's just important to document. You write it all down. And, oh, I wanted to start out with this one. I forgot this. It's really important in the very beginning, like when you share a dream. And, you know, we're all going to be practicing and working with each other, which I highly encourage you. But only do that after you go to the Lord and ask him. There's a story. I started touching a little bit about it last week, but when we were talking about going in, when I had said about the witches, the warlocks, the New Age, you know, I mean, the dreams that they have are really incredible. You know, God loves them, and he's trying to get to their hearts. He's trying to woo them, and he'll do it in a dream. And there's haunted happenings that happens at Halloween up in Salem, Massachusetts every year. And usually the interns from Streams, they go out and, you know, everybody else is wanting to, like, you know, do things to the witches and to the warlocks. But my son happened to be an intern at the time. And he said it was the coolest thing because, you know, not that they were undercover, but they went in as followers of Jesus, you know, and they didn't call themselves Christians. And so everybody was saying, okay, you're cool, you're cool. But anyway, there is a story that the highest warlock here in the United States was talking with John Paul. And it's a really, really cool story, and it's recorded somewhere, but it's really interesting about what had happened to this man. And as John Paul was standing with him and talking to him, so, you know, how'd you come to be a warlock? And what had happened to this man is that years ago, I mean, he was in the church. He was in the Baptist church. And he had a dream. And it was a very powerful dream. And he knew that he had a call on his life. And he went to the pastor, and he was all excited, and he told the pastor the dream. And the pastor came right out and told him that God doesn't speak to us in dreams anymore. The dream must have been from the devil. So this man said, then I'm going to go find the devil. And he did. He became the highest warlock. And, you know, there is more to this story, you know. So he had told this to John Paul. And the entire time that he was telling this story to John Paul had his, the warlock had his back to John Paul. And John Paul, and after like 10 minutes, John Paul had asked him, like, so, like, why is your back towards me? And the warlock had told him, it's because everything inside of me is wanting to curse you. And he said, you know, I see the light in you, and I don't want to do that. And that night, when he should have been with the rest of his people doing what they do at haunted happenings, he was in a church where, this was when my son was a part of the group, they were actually hiding him because there were those who were wanting to kill him that night. And those who were wanting to kill him were Christians. So he was hiding out in the church with the interns from Streams and just having a really good time. And that night, he had called his mother from the church to tell her, you know, about that he was here. So he still had a great calling on his life. But because, you know, somebody told him otherwise, you know, he didn't know to go to God. But God was still wooing him. I mean, he was still able to see and to sense the light in people. And when I heard that story, I mean, it really got me. It really, really got me. Because God, he loves everybody. He loves everybody. He has created us. So, does anybody have any questions? Anything else to say? Okay. I know, feelings like this went really fast. I asked that question. Because he spent time there in the church, he was murdered by his own people got him. Yeah. So I just hope that, you know, he had the Lord in his heart, which I do believe that he had. I do believe that. I do believe that there was that tugging that was still there. So, well, as I was going through my books, see, this is the way how I used to do my dreams. Little circles, and it's just the whole process. This was a dream that I had in May. It was actually May 11th, 2001. And this was when I was in, I guess it was the 202 class, because when we were in that class, Dreams and Visions, we were small enough where John Paul would interpret a dream that everybody had had, you know, and it would go up on the board. And I could close my eyes and I could still see this dream. And about 5 years ago, I gave up. You know, sometimes it takes years, especially a calling dream. A calling dream can take years, 10, 15, 20 years, for that dream to come to fruition. And I just gave up because I was looking for this, and I just couldn't find it, and I put it away. And it has to be about 5 years since I've taken this out. And I had a dream that I was in this new building. Now, you know, dreams are really strange. And this building was in the middle of the woods, deep, deep in the woods. And I was with my husband, and we were walking up the stairs, and it was just really different because there was no ceiling on this building, and the walls was all glass. And once we walked up and we had entered in, the sun was shining so brightly. It was just amazing. And you could just feel God at this place. The other thing that I also felt when I was there was the prayers that were coming up from under the foundation. It was just coming up through the floor, the prayers. And the other thing that I also felt was the enemy. I saw him trying to get in. And this place was surrounded by the trees, and I just saw that the enemy was lurking around the trees. Now, the church that I was in at the time was in a building process, and everybody thought that this dream was about the church, because the interpretation of the dream is, I'm going to read it to you, because this is what John Paul had told me, that it was a picture of a new building or a new work. There's an open heaven. It is a creative work of God. There is a clear vision, 360 degrees all the way around. There was prayer that was undergirding this work that rose to the heavens. The glory of God was going to be revealed in this place, and this was surrounded by leaders. New leaders would come. And this is the key that I was looking for. This is a pioneer work. It is a forerunner. That was the key. Because every church that I was in since then has not been a pioneer work. But All Things Restored is. This is a forerunner. And the warning of the dream was to be careful that the enemy is looking to get in. And he said it's most likely to get in through the leaders. So, little word of warning there. And when I took this dream out and I took a look at it, I was like, oh my goodness. You know, I put this away. I put it away. I gave up on it. And it's time. It was time for the Lord to show me, you know, that all these things that he has spoken to me about. And you're here because you're a leader. I mean, what we're doing right now, you know, going through the gates, getting, you know, just learning how to interact in the two different dimensions at the same time. And just like when we do in our dreams, we're interacting in two different dimensions all at the same time. You know, this is something that's, we're definitely pioneering. We're definitely forerunners here. So, no, keep going. All right. Well, does anybody have a dream? Any other questions? I know. Did you want to talk about the difference between the spirit and soul dreams?
Yeah, I was so worried about being late, I left my notes at home. So, and my brain is completely off right now. I'm still back in the roar. It's kind of reverberating, so it's where I'm at. but I did want to share a little bit about a soul dream and a spirit dream. And a lot of times the difference you can tell the difference in a spirit dream. The colors are very vivid and things are very clear in that dream. Soul dreams, usually the colors tend to be a little more pastelish and not quite as bold and bright. Now, a soul dream is not evil. It's just a soul dream, and it can be processing soul issues. I can remember a time I was so emotionally shut down that my mom had died, and I had never really grieved that because I was just shut down. And the Lord was so gracious in awakening my soul realm and bringing me into healing and deliverance that I grieved my mother's death, and grieving really never having a mother through dreams. And I would wake up in the middle of the night, I'd wake myself up crying, and I would be having thoughts about my mom and stuff. And I was so grateful that he was so gentle in how he did that. And that was how he began connecting emotions inside of me, because I was so incredibly shut down and couldn't do it. So don't get always, you know, you want to be more concerned about the pizza dreams than you do whether it's a soul or spirit dream. You just have to discern if it's soul, and then don't make decisions. I tell most people, let your dream bring confirmation, not actually lead you. Don't follow your dream, because if you're misinterpreting, you may go down a road you don't have to go down. So it can bring some confirmation to your life. That's what the prophetic most of the time should do. And when we start really getting into the interpretation stuff a little bit next week, I primarily do most of my interpretation via word of knowledge, more so than methodology. I'll use colors, symbolic things, but primarily I'm going to pull on my prophetic gifting as a Nabi, a prophetic person, and just get a word of knowledge rather than trying to, you know, get in my brain and use a method. And that doesn't discredit. I went through all of John Paul's stuff, and I'm very grateful, because that taught me to think outside of my little linear box. It taught me to think more symbolically, and not to just look at things very literal. Because, you know, growing up in my Baptist world, honey, that Bible is literal. And it is. But, you know, any truth taken to an extreme can become an untruth. And so when you're getting into visions and dreams, they are more symbolic. And so you have to learn to look at things symbolically, and learning your own language of dreams versus, you know, like last week I said, don't go Googling and Wikipedia looking for the interpretation of your dream. Most of the time, you can find it in the Word. And if you learn to work the right side of your brain, which tends to be your creative side of your brain, that helps. And unfortunately, I don't have my notes about the left and right brain that I was going to be sharing. But your left side, which is, if you hold up an L, that's the left side, because I have to do that because my brain doesn't function normally, is more logical and linear. And that doesn't mean you're not creative. It means your creativity may flow linear, and you would make a really good engineer and architect and some of those giftings. So don't think you have to be a crazy right brain artistic person to be creative, because you don't have to be. So that's just a stereotypical thing that we sometimes fall into. And when you're interpreting, I was fortunate when I got saved that no one told me the whole Bible wasn't for me. So anything I read, I decided, well, I want to do that. And I didn't know, you know, later on they test you for your giftings and all that stuff. And I'm all for that. But I'm also believe that as a son or daughter, we can access any gift at any time, because God is so desiring. I think there's some that will operate easily in and more freely in, but I do think we can access what's needed when it's needed. So I think we have to take off some shackles that man has put on us with good intention. And I'm not talking about being lawless, okay, but learning to be free and hearing the voice of God. And, you know, it's obviously going to follow scripture. I'm not getting into, I hate when we have to clarify everything we say, because things can be taken out of context. But don't be afraid to learn to think outside of the box, because I do think there is a release coming to the body where we are going to invade. They talk about the seven mountains of society, that we're going to actually come out of the church and invade those places. And in doing that, we have access to amazing things, and some of those things are going to come through dreams, witty inventions, whatever field you're in. You ask God for dreams about that, because the world is looking for answers, and who has better, really, who has the access? We do. And that's not saying we're special. God gives things to everybody who's hungry. But part of our growing is for that purpose, is to begin to influence more than just what's going on. And I'm probably talking to the choir right now, but that's just kind of what's stirring inside my heart. So don't be quick to disregard that those are ways God can speak to us. You know, he'll sneak something in on us, and if we are kingly, we'll search it out and discover a treasure, hidden treasure that may answer. If you're in the medical field, it may be the cure to cancer. It may be the next device that will keep people alive. I mean, there's just all sorts of things that come through dreams. And I think sometimes we get lulled into this place of not realizing that we are in those different dimensions, that dreams aren't fantasy, that they're real, and it's a really real place, you know? Being seated in heavenly places is a real place for us, and just learning how to live like that, you know. And so I want to just encourage you to, whatever field you're in, just begin to become a person of excellence and integrity and honesty, so that God can give you solutions to the world problems. Because what a better way to influence the world. And so that's, you know, and it, a lot of times those things come through dreams. So I just, that's a lot of what I wanted to encourage, you know, everybody tonight, is, and anybody can get them. There's no, you know, super spiritual people, and I'm not as spiritual. See, all of that is silly. We got to get rid of all that, you know. It's just silly, because we all have access. We're all His kids. And, you know, you learn that who you're not, you know. You know, there was one night I got in this vein of prophetic. Trust me, I know that is not me. See, I know that's not me. That was God's gift to the body, to, because He wanted to speak to people. And I've just learned, well, here, I'm going to yield to that, but it's anybody can do it. Anybody can do it, you know, and it's just simply learning to yield and not being afraid to mess up, you know. That's, you know, because we're, you know, my gosh, I'm speaking for God. What if I give a wrong word? Oh, well, you apologize and move on, you know, but stop letting fear hinder us from just tapping into what God wants to do. Because really, that's a lot of times what happens to us. You know, I know for me, I always have to get over that hurdle. You know, anytime I give a word to anyone, it's like, oh God, please don't let me give a stupid word. You know? And that doesn't mean I'm not hearing from God. It means I know who I am. And I know that I can get involved in it. But it's okay, because we have to be willing. I mean, the scripture is very clear, where there are no oxen, the stall is clean. That means that if we can't create a community among ourselves where there is love and grace to mess up, then we're missing a lot, you know. And when, you know, in training prophetic teams, one of the things I encouraged them, that as I was growing in the prophetic, you know, I started, you know, in 1998, growing, went to the School of the Prophets. I was hurled into that kind of environment. And the first thing I saw was dirt on everybody. I saw everyone's weakness and every bad thing they could see. And I had John Paul sit me down, and he and a couple of other prophetic people that I just happened to be in relationship with, connected to people, and he said, learn to pan for the gold. Because anybody, and actually he said donkeys can find dirt. And he said, but mature prophetic people look for the gold in people, and they speak to the gold in that person. And then explain the difference between a telescope and a microscope. and learn to see through the telescope and not a microscope. And it took me a long time to get past that, because dirt's obvious, you know. It's so easy to see. And so we've got to develop that community, you know, and that's my heart, is to develop that type of community where we're able to do that. Because if we don't, we'll all be scared to ever step out and do anything, because we're scared we're going to get slapped. And we, you know, let's not do that. Let's just not do that, you know. And so that's all I have.
I think you brought it out in me. I feel like I messed up. There was so much I wanted to say, and I felt like I just read from my notes. But again, that whole worship, that was pretty amazing. I when Connie started talking about the different colors and dreams, that's the one thing I wanted to talk about, is to recognize not just the colors, but, you know, if it's a dim color or if it's a bright color or dark dreams, because you will get the dark dreams. And those are dreams that God is revealing the plans of the enemy to you. So don't be afraid of those. So, like, you can have a dream of a tornado coming, and the tornado could be a white tornado, and that's God, that he's going to be releasing a whirlwind coming towards you. Or you can have a dream of a dark tornado that's coming towards you, and that's the enemy. And so when you have dreams like that, it's really important to recognize it so you could pray. So those are the things to write down. And the other, I wanted to mention this last week too, is daydreaming. Don't discount daydreaming. Do not discount daydreaming, because they're dreams. And Albert Einstein, he got the theory for E equals MC squared from a dream, and it was a daydream. So do not discount that. And going back to the difference between dreams and visions, I mean, you can have a vision in the night when you're dreaming, and you can have an encounter in your dreams. And that has happened to me. I have had, there was a time there that I spent a lot of time in the book of Daniel. I was just intrigued by it. And I actually had Daniel come and explain to me Daniel chapter 10 one night. And I don't remember a thing he said. So it's one of those that's kind of sealed away. So I had one of those types of dreams. Or, you know, you can. I've had many dreams with Jesus. I'm sure that most of you, you know, you'll see him show up. And the thing is, he can show up in, like, you know, just the oddest ways. It's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. If you have an encounter with a faceless person, it's usually the Holy Spirit, and you'll recognize them by their countenance. That's what you want to look for. You can see angels in your dreams. I have one angel that he comes and he has messages for me when I dream. And you know what? It's serious, because he has on a three-piece suit. But he's dressed, like, he doesn't look like, you know, an angel in a robe. He's got a three-piece suit on. So, I mean, you know, that's business. We have business to take care of. So that's something really serious. So when I see him show up, I do pay attention. You know, and then, you know, there was, I can't think of the name of the dream, but there was those dreams that you can enter into that you can actually change. And lucid dreaming. I have a brother-in-law, he's an atheist. And he has the most vivid lucid dreams I've ever heard. And I mean, he has had encounters, and this is an atheist, he was helping Noah build the ark. I have a dream from him. It's like 3 pages long. And he always says it's going to be a cold day in hell before he, you know, accepts the Lord. And it's, yeah. well, he's been saying this for years. And he actually had a dream. It was a long dream. I mean, he's driving a car and he's trailering a casket, you know. But it was such a cool dream, because to me it speaks of the end times. I mean, there was a statue that came to life, you know, and then everybody was really cold. Everybody, as they're speaking, you know, the air is coming out that you could see. And it happened to be Jesus. And he had said to him, "Larry, when are you going to ask me?" So it was a cold day. You know, I mean, so anybody can have these sort of dreams. The first part of this dream that I had, this was actually 4 years that this dream was about a business that I was to start, that I had no idea that I was going to be starting. This was with me and my husband. When we first started training with dreams, all I had to do was go to my husband. You know, we were in teams, and we had to get dreams. And my husband, to this day, he'll have anywhere from 8 to 15 scenes in a dream. And it's exhausting. There was one day we spent 8 hours just trying to one night's dream. That's how many dreams that he has. Very, very specific dreams. Very, very specific. Has given us a whole lot of direction. He had this one dream. Totally blew us away. This is when we were in process moving from New Jersey to North Carolina. We were starting a business. We had bought a Victorian house. Little did we know, the house was built in, was finished completion in 1901. It was built to be a funeral home. Now, isn't that funny? We did not know this at the time, you know, that we had bought it. But anyway, after we had bought it, my husband came back to New Jersey. It took us 6 months to make the transition to move. And he came back to New Jersey, and he had a dream one night. And that he was at the house, and it was three-story. He was up in the attic. And as he was up in the attic, that he saw a woman that was up there in a long gown, and she had a weird kind of hat. But anyway, as he was walking down the stairs, he hit a stair that had a hollow feeling. And he, in the dream, he recognizes, oh, this is where people hid money. So in the dream, he opens up the stair, and he looks in there, and you know, he doesn't find anything, but he remembered that place. And then he walks out, and we found, and then there was a fence that was all around the property, and which there wasn't at the time, but you know, he went out there, and he saw that everything was all fenced in. And then when he was looking at the fence, that's where he saw the well, that there was a well that we didn't know about. And this was after we had bought the building. So about a month later, he goes back down. What's the first thing he does? He goes up into the attic. And guess what he finds? He finds this step that was hollow on the inside. And this is like where people would hide money. And so he goes down, and sure enough, he finds all the... There was just so much brush that was just overgrown. Well, he finds the fence that was there that we had to take out. And the best part was that he had found the well. And now the direction for the dream was to call forth the life that came out of the well, which is what we had did. As far as that woman, that happened to be the spirit that occupied the place at the time, which we had a team of people come down, we got rid of it, and we, you know, but it was just really, really cool things that had happened. So that gave us some direction. Even while we were there, after we had opened up the business, there was all this negativity that we were getting. And I actually had a dream. The Lord told me very specifically, you know, about salt, about the purifying that comes from the salt. And it happened to be with the person who was at my front desk, because that's where the dream had taken place. And, you know, I got to tell you, the next morning I took salt and I threw it at the front desk. It was just because it was just that strong, because I knew of the, you know, and again, I'm acting with the dream. Okay, Lord, I'm acknowledging you gave me a dream, so now I'm going to act it out. Okay, this is what I'm going to do. And again, don't be afraid to try to, you know, figure out the dreams for yourself. I have my son's wife. She's saved. She is not spirit-filled. Can she interpret a dream? She blows me away. She texts me all the time when she's at work, and she's interpreting dreams for people. And she'll ask me, "Is this right?" And I'm like, "Wow, you know." But again, because I was raised talking about dreams, I raised my kids. We get together. What do we talk about? We talk about dreams. They've been married almost 8 years, so she's in on it now. So she's hearing it, and she's getting it like that. It's absolutely amazing how it's coming to her, and she doesn't have the spirit guiding her, but she gets it. It's really, really cool, you know, how God speaks to us in dreams. Okay, so we know about colors. We know about the looking for the different activities, looking for patterns in the dreams. And look for the things that you like to speak to you. I'd like to use my husband because he's a gearhead, loves cars. A lot of times he's not here on a Saturday night because he has, you know, old car, and, you know, they go do their thing. And he absolutely loves it, absolutely loves it. So he has dreams of, like, 57 Chevys, 62 Fords, and it drives me nuts, you know. And I finally got to the place because, like, we'll look at the car and I'll ask him, okay, so what is the significance of the car? The significance, if it's a Ford, a Chrysler, because they each have significance when you start to look into the history of it. The type of motor that they have. I mean, the motor is the engine. That's the Holy Spirit. I mean, he's going to move you. Same thing with the tires. So I have learned that's his dream language. Cars is his thing. I've learned to recognize the colors, just those types of things. The year that the car was made, you know, like if he'll dream about a BMW, you know, BMW was once airplane engines, and they just went into cars. So, you know, that has a very specific meaning in a dream for him, because that's his language. I'm going to be jumping around because things are just coming into my head now. Colors. I don't know if you know this, but Picasso, the painter, he was very well known for his colors. Well, he saw colors in a dream, and he created them and painted them. Color is really important to me in a dream. I've learned to look for the hue, the brightness, the tone. The Lord, when he wants to speak to me, he'll always have really bright colors that he's going to show. And they're always going to be bright. You're always going to know it's from God because you're going to see the light in it. Yes, Christy? You just may not be noticing it. You just may not be noticing it. So just ask the Lord. Tell him that you want a colorful dream. You'll get it.
Versus you kind of just, because it's normal, because we look at color all the time, that things may not stand out. But the more you start writing your dreams out, you train yourself to pay attention to certain things. And because you want, when you're writing them out, you want to be as detailed as possible. When you interpret, you don't necessarily need the details, but when you're recalling the dream, as many details as you can remember. And that when you do that, you're conditioning your mind to pay attention to things like that. So, and one thing I wanted to just mention about the daydreams is just make sure your imagination gate has been cleansed, because there's a difference between fantasy thinking and daydreaming. And fantasy will lend itself toward make-believe situations or sinful things. And daydreaming, if you know any artist or photographer, musicians do this a lot, is before they write a song, it's usually in them long before. I see the photograph long before I ever take the photograph. It's just how it works. You know, I plan what that's going to look like in my imagination. You know, there's a photograph that I'm looking for right now that I have to catch the moon at a precise time because it changes temperature, which changes the color of the moon. So there's, see, all of that has to be planned, and that is part of that creative process that you go through, that daydreaming helps you do that. And there's many stories of people that sit at computers who are actually daydreaming and are paid to do that because they come up with ideas and wind up saving the company millions of dollars because they sit and pondered and allowed their mind, see, they're illegally accessing something that we have a God-given right to. And but we are afraid to engage it because, you know, we get locked down. But, you know, look at Google and look at Apple. They were started in garages. You know, have you seen the latest commercials? All these major, they were sitting in there accessing realms, probably via drugs, to be honest, rather than the Holy Spirit. And they tapped into a creative vein because when God releases it, he releases things onto the earth. You know, there was a sound that was released from heaven that was right about the time of the Jesus movement that the Beatles caught and all these 60s groups caught. The church caught part of it. And see, we're on the cutting edge. We get to tap into things, and because God releases it to the earth, and sometimes as we sit and ponder things in our heart, that's actually the womb of our heart creating, and we have to learn that that's okay, that's not. You know, that's not for little kids to go daydream, you know. That's for adults to solve adult problems, is to learn to ponder in your heart and to daydream about things. And so fantasy gets into sinful lust and desire. And that's, you know, that's what you have to make sure you draw the line and don't allow yourself to access that, because that can lead you down a dark road you know we don't want to go. And but cleanse your imagination gate and let God flow through that gate and let you imagine creative and witty inventions and ideas.
When my husband was starting his company years ago, He is a dreamer. He wasn't even saved. He woke up one night in the middle of the night, and he had a name, and the name was Honest Engine. He had an engine rebuilding company, and that's what he named it. And it's so funny how God just kept speaking to him about what to do every step of the way when he had the business. Just little tiny things, you know, something would break down and he didn't know how to fix it. He'd have a dream and he would just wake up and he would just know exactly what to do. So it's amazing what the Lord does with dreams. I wanted to go back and tell the story about lucid dreams. A friend of mine, she is a dreamer, and as you get stronger in your spirit and understanding dreams and understanding when you're having a lucid dream, how you can go in and change a dream. Well, she had a dream one night that her son was driving with his friend, and they got into an accident, and they died. And she woke up from this dream, and she said, no, and she went back into the dream, and she changed the dream so that they lived. The very next day, her son and his friend got into a car accident, and they lived. So you don't know, you know, could it have been the plans of the enemy that had, you know, that wanted to, you know, to take them out, you know, and she got up. Who knows? Who knows? But again, she was able to recognize this had happened in a dream. So I'm going to respond, and she responded right away. You know, you can have a dream, wake up, go back to sleep, and enter the same dream, like you can continue on. If you have a dream and you repeat the scene, you know, right at, you know, one right after the other, that's a message that God is really trying to get to, through to you. He's trying to tell you something. So again, you want to look for that as well in your dreams. But he'll speak to you. And I wouldn't be surprised, and again, it's just wherever I've been at, you know, when we start talking about dreams, and especially about prayer, because, you know, we need to undergird all things restored with prayer. I wouldn't be surprised that the Lord's going to start releasing more dreams about here. And it's just going to be really important to just kind of bring them forth. And, you know, I mean, everybody has a piece. Everybody has a part to play here, you know, and it's just going to be one of the ways how the Lord is going to use us, you know, with dreams and visions. So Connie talked about the way how she interpreted. I actually had a dream that was going to tell me the way how I interpret. Very strange, very, very strange. But I actually enter into a dream. It's really, I can hear a dream and I'll kind of get a gist of it. When I see it, when it's written down, I could picture it, I see it, I picture it, I enter into it, and I actually become a part of the dream, and I just understand, I'm just like a bystander. It's really, really strange. But I actually hear when I see. So if anybody ever has a dream that they really want me to take a look at, I just want to encourage you, it's better for me, you know, that I get a much more of a clear understanding if it's written down. And you know, you can just always email it to me. So, but the goal here is to get everybody to, you know, try to understand your own dreams and hear what the Lord is speaking. So I guess that's it.